Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for coming. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you all for coming. We pray that we shall continue to have a blessed time, just like we have had during praise and worship and the testimonies that we have had from Olive and Matthew. Hallelujah. Yes, we are looking at the foundations of our faith, and by doing that, we are essentially reviewing the basics of Christianity. And we are getting that from Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1, which says that, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, or the basic principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. All right? So Paul is saying that not laying again the foundation of these things, all right? But then he said in verse 3 that, and this we will do if God permits. Amen? Now, in LAT, in this season, God has permitted us to do that, to lay again the foundation, to review the elementary principles of Christ. Glory be to God. Amen? We first reviewed or studied the doctrine or the teaching of Christ, and we essentially said that the word that was God became a man, all right? And when he came as a man, that man was called Jesus, all right? By the way, before Jesus came to the earth, he wasn't called Jesus. I hope you know that. Okay, now you know, all right? Before, he was conceived in Mary's womb and he came, you know, and he was born, all right? He wasn't called Jesus, all right? Okay? In heaven, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There was no Jesus, all right? Jesus is the name that was given to the man, capital M, all right? All right. So there was the Father, the Son, and the Father and the Word. All right. And the Spirit. And when that Word became flesh, became a human being, all right, that human being was given a name. The name Jesus, meaning he will save, okay, people from their sins. Glory be to God. Amen? That's why in Genesis you don't find, the mention of a person called Jesus. All right? He was there, but at that time he was the Word. He was the Son, not Jesus. But when he decided to become a man, all right, that man was given the name Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, the man Jesus was anointed. Why was he anointed, yet was God? Because when he came to the earth, he fully operated as a man. And as a man, he had to be empowered. So he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He was anointed. And that's why we call him the Anointed One, the Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed. All right? And the man Jesus died for man. All right? That is essentially why the Word became man. All right? Because the man, capital M, Abigail, was going to die for man, small M. All right? Abigail saw this slide at home yesterday, and he told me that, Daddy, it didn't make sense. All right? Man dying for man. Didn't make, as in, all right? He was basically telling me what I used to tell him when we're doing homeschooling. Okay? Write things which make sense. All right? If you read, and you know, like literature, if you write a sentence and you read it aloud to yourself and it didn't make sense, then do you understand? So she told me the same thing, that Daddy, it didn't make sense. All right? Then I explained to her, there's man, capital M, Jesus, God became man, and there's man, small M, us. I don't know if she understood that, but one day she will if she didn't. All right? So the man Jesus Christ resurrected, ascended to heaven, and is coming again to restore all things that fell when man, small m, fell. Glory be to God. Now, last week, we studied about the doctrine of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. And we said that there are two kinds of dead works. The first one is the works which we do to attain salvation. And the second dead works are the evil works we do after attaining salvation in the man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says that, for by grace you have been saved, not of works. Alright? We are saved by grace, not by works. That means that people who are not saved, whatever good works they do to try and merit salvation, those are dead works. Hallelujah. And in verse 10, it continues and says that, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. All right, we are not saved by works, all right? However, after we are created in Christ Jesus, good works are expected of us. Glory be to God. And we said, because the Bible says that salvation without works is essentially not salvation. Hallelujah. Because James said in James chapter 2, verse 17 to 18, that if faith does not have works, it is dead. All right? Faith without works, faith without good works, it is dead. It is what? It is dead. All right? And then he says that, I will show you my faith by my works. Sibi gambo bugambo. Ndimulokole. You know, eh? All right? I will show you my faith by my what? By my works. All right? And if the works are not there, that faith is dead. All right? Meaning that you are no longer born again. You are not saved. All right? You forsook salvation long time ago. I'm telling you, thank God I'm showing you the scriptures. Sibi gambo byange. Amen? Hallelujah. And we emphasize that salvation without righteous works, okay, because it is not salvation, all right? It essentially means that basically someone is going to hell, all right? Because Jesus said that I am the vine and you who believe in me are the branches. All right. Then he said that if anyone does not abide in me, okay, if the branch does not abide in him, okay, then that branch is cast out and it is withered. Okay? And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Essentially, that's what is going to happen to people, okay, who they accepted the Lord. They were a branch in the Lord, all right, but they didn't bear fruit, all right, no good works, okay? They are going to be cut off, and they are going to end up in fire, all right? Now, some people say that Jesus said those words before going to the cross, okay? Before going to the cross, all right? That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel, you know, You know why, okay? Yeah, but in Ephesians chapter 5, okay, and elsewhere, Paul, in verse 6, he tells us that, let no one deceive you with empty words. Let no one do what? Deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, okay, which things? The things which he had mentioned earlier, okay, which are in your Bibles, all right? Because of these things, the sins, okay, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And then he says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Do not be partakers with the sons of disobedience of the wrath of God which is coming upon them because of their sins. You understand, eh? Meaning that, and that wrath of God, okay, it is essentially being eternally separated from God in hell. Okay, and he's warning us that let no one deceive you with empty words. I pray that one day when you leave LAT, alright, and you go somewhere and you will listen to someone who's telling you that you don't worry about what you do, what happened at the cross, it covered it all, nothing. You know, I pray you always remember this scripture. That let no one deceive you with empty words. Okay? You know you're nodding here, yes, amen, amen. But I'm telling you, within just 1 week, and that thing is so enticing. It sounds so nice, as in the contrary to this, because I know how good it sounds. It's so enticing. Man, you can fall for it. I'm telling you, even just after the service here. Glory be to God. But if you ever fall for it, but I pray you don't, all right? It won't be me to blame. I will have done what? My work. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, okay, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. All right? And in the context of that, we're talking about examine your works. Examine the fruit of your life. You understand? If you are practicing evil, if you're practicing evil works, all right, man, you might not be in the faith. So examine yourself, test yourselves, all right? That refers to me and to you. Glory be to God. And if you find that you are in the faith, all right, 1 Corinthians 10:9 says that take heed lest you fall. As in, all right, do work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Make sure, okay, you partner with the Holy Ghost to work with the Lord, okay, in the good works which he prepared beforehand, okay, for you to walk in. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Glory be to God. All right? Yes. I think Well, according to me, I gave myself a calling. Okay, I don't know if God gave it to me, but if he didn't, he will tell me tonight. All right, but yeah, my calling, which I gave to myself, is to ensure, all right, that no one, to make sure that no one goes to hell, no one under the sound of my voice, all right, no one under my spiritual leadership goes to hell. You understand? Eh? If anyone does, it shouldn't be my fault. Glory be to God. And when you read through the entire, especially the New Testament, you can see that was the heart of every apostle, everyone who wrote, every author. Okay? It was to make sure that Christians enter the kingdom. It was that. It wasn't these things of why to make sure that Christians go forth and influence. Why, you understand? That is good. And it should be so. Christians to go forth and influence every sphere of society. But the most important thing, because you see, you can influence, out there, but you again end up in hell, man. The ultimate, the most important, is to what? Make sure you enter the kingdom. Glory be to God. Amen? And man, that is my desire. Like every time I think about I've said it over and over again. The whole idea of LAT growing big, I'm like seeing, man, all those many souls entering the kingdom, being brought so that they can be taught, how to ensure that they enter the kingdom. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. And as I do that, I'm also what? Examining myself also. Nangendi what? I am not exempt from falling away. Hallelujah. For if you think you're exempt, well, those are, well and good, but be careful. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, today, when I say today, and I heard myself shouting, I remembered in senior two, we had an art teacher, Jira, I did art, We had an art teacher. So this guy, he was called Asen Lutaya. Asen Lutaya would shout, "Why today?" Then he talks about when he's teaching you art, he talks about perspective. What perspective? We didn't know what that word meant. Perspective, why shouting? And you wonder why he was teaching anything. Because the guys who knew art. And they would draw stuff. Those who didn't. So I've never understood what? Teaching art, really. Okay? Maybe it exists. Anyway, so one time, this retired guy who used to shout, "Today, what?" he came to class. And then he shouted again. He said, "Today, I'm not going to be loud because my voice, I got a cold." I lost my voice. And my guys laugh. Guys are showing us how he's not going to be what? Loud, but he's shouting. More than, as usual. All right. Now, today we're going to do what? Today we are going to talk about the doctrine of baptisms. All right. Remember, it is there in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, because it says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Verse 2, "Of the doctrine of baptisms. Glory be to God. So that is what we're going to talk about. All right. Hallelujah. Now, notice, okay, it is doctrine or teaching of baptisms. Okay, plural, baptisms. More than one baptism. Amen? Yeah. But before we look at those baptisms, okay, let us define the word baptize. All right? Now, to baptize, okay, that word comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip, to immerse, or to submerge. All right? To dip. All right? To immerse. All right? Or to submerge. All right? So, the question is, why, for example, when you read the Bible, why don't you find, okay, for example, why don't you find the term that, like, John, the dipper? Okay? Why John the Baptist? Since, first of all, the word baptized, okay, by the time they translated the Bible to English, the word baptized didn't exist. Do you understand why? It didn't exist in the English language. All right? That word was, let me say, like, it was made up. It was what? Prior to that, it didn't exist. Why didn't they translate baptizo into immerse? John the immerser. John the dipper. You know, John the submerger, for example. Alright? It is because at that time, the Catholic Church, okay, the Roman Catholic Church had invented this evil practice of sprinkling. Okay, just back to your example. Alright? They get, but these kids who are what? Born again. Who are what? Born of Pentecostal parents. They don't know what they have survived. They don't know that there was a crying session that had been planned for them. All right? It's Sunday for crying. And usually I think it is 26th December. Yeah? 26th December. Okay? When they take you, apparently to baptize you. You even don't know Jesus, that's what, you know. But you're going to be what? Baptized. Then what, you know. And this nonsense of God Father, God Mother. But if there are words which I hate to hear, eh? Especially from a mulokole, is those words, eh? I am a godmother of my cousin's son. I am a god. I hate, because I look at this guy or this chick who's telling me that. I'm like, do you understand what you're talking about? The event you are involved in was stupid. It wasn't baptism. Do you understand? Eh? First of all, like we say, it wasn't immersion. It wasn't dipping. Do you understand? Eh? Number two, and most importantly, someone cannot be baptized when they haven't believed. Now you're there, you're proud that, yeah, you know, I can't come to church today because, you know, they are baptizing my cousin. She has made 1 year, all right? And I'm going to be a godmother. And you're so proud, godmother. You're like, they have honored you. Man, women, you know, and they have been honored, okay, to be the godmother, all right? You know, now that you've heard, please never tell me that stuff. Eh? Never even testify to me one day when I've got, you know, my grand. You know, I'm like, stupid. You're the one who's promoting evil practices which make kids believe that they are born again, they're going to heaven, just because when they didn't know, you know, one time ago when they didn't know, they were baptized, they became Christian. You understand, eh? You can sense the passion even with which I'm talking about, because it is so bad. People are going to hell, okay? Because they think once upon a time when they were 6 months old, okay, they became Christians because they were baptized. Because they were, water was sprinkled on them by a bishop. Bishop, in fact, for me, I was baptized, my daughter was baptized by the what? The archbishop. Bishop. You know, I'm not just a bishop, but the archbishop. And you know, archbishop, she gets it, you know, Man, that stuff, I hate listening to those things. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And some of you are right now angry. Because the bishop of Chigezi diocese, you know, those are events which are just made. Anyway, they are stupid, they are foolish, they are evil. You know, they are leading guys to hell and they think they are kawah, they are okay. Hallelujah. Amen. I have many things which I'm passionately against. That is one of them. That is what? One of them. Hallelujah. Okay, so they translated, you know, like that, because the Catholic Church had invented that thing, a lie, okay? And so the translators didn't want to get in trouble. They didn't want to whatever the waters, what's the what? To stir the waters. Because kids were being baptized 1 month, 6 months, all right? And that's how you become a Christian. You know, by sprinkling, you understand? And these guys were like, hey, man, if we translate this as immersion, we're in trouble. Let us just invent a word, baptize. And that is where we are up to now. Glory be to God. So people don't know actually what to baptize means. All right? Because the translators were either cowards or they were wise. I don't know. Were they cowards or wise? I don't know. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, remember, it is baptisms. All right? So there are four kinds of baptisms that a New Testament believer should concern themselves with. Okay? Number one, baptism, immersion into Christ and into his body. Number two, water baptism. Okay? Water immersion. Number three, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Number four, the baptism of suffering. Glory be to God. Okay? Being immersed in suffering. That is the fourth one. Amen? Now, let us talk about the first one. Baptism into Christ and into his body. This one happens at the very moment we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, this teaching is going to help you when you're reading the Bible. Okay, it will help you to understand what baptism they are talking about. You understand? Because that word is used, you know, and it is not always referring to water baptism. Do you understand? It will help you. Amen? So, baptism into Christ, okay, or into his body, happens the moment you get born again, the moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 says that, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Alright? Okay? And to prove to you that this is not talking about water baptism, alright? It says that, for by one spirit we were all baptized. Alright? Has the Spirit ever baptized someone in water? No. So this, that shows that it is not talking about water baptism. This baptism is by the Holy Spirit, okay? And You are basically immersed, okay, in the body of Christ, in Christ, when you get born again. It is instant. Glory be to God. The moment you get saved, okay, you become one with the Lord, all right, and you also become one with his body. Okay, the body of believers, okay, living, okay, those who are alive and those who are what? Who are in heaven. Okay, because they're still part of the body, by the way. But that is for another day. Amen? And it's there in your Bibles, in Ephesians. Glory be to God. Amen? So this is baptism into the body. It happens the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it is not done by man. It is done by the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. Now, if you're born again, if you're here and you're saved, okay, this has already happened to you. It has already done what? Happened to you. All right? And other baptisms, okay, cannot happen when this one hasn't happened. Glory be to God. Amen? Because this is a starting point. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are baptized, you are immersed, you are dipped into the body of Christ. Glory be to God. Amen? That one is very simple. All right? And it is one slide. Glory be to God. Now, the second baptism is the one we have talked about a bit, water baptism. All right? Water what? Water baptism. Water immersion. Water dipping. All right? Dipption. All right? Water immersion. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, this one happens only after accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Okay? That means that a child cannot be baptized. You know, a child of a certain age, a baby, they don't know Jesus. They can't accept Jesus. Hallelujah. We see an example of that in Acts chapter 8 from verse 36. Philip meets a eunuch from Ethiopia, all right? And, you know, he's reading Isaiah 53, and he didn't understand, okay? And Philip helps him to understand what Isaiah 53 means, okay? The suffering Messiah, okay? How Jesus was punished for us, okay? And so, after he's explained to, he says that, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Okay? Then Philip tells him that if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. All right? If you believe, you may be. So believing comes first. Glory be to God. Amen? I have a feeling that if I was a reverend, you know, in the Anglican Church, I think I would what? I would say, you know, for me, I would jump out when I read the Bible and say, you guys, no. You know, I'm telling you. But I think what keeps guys there, even when they know what they're doing is wrong, you understand? I think what keeps guys there is I think, because remember, anyway, so I think it is a fear of the loss of livelihood. You understand? Eh? So you're like, Then you get your kawanuma at the end of the month, you have housing. Eh? If you're a bishop of Chigezi Diocese, I think they even give you acres, you know, upon retirement. Eh? Man, those bishops are given stuff. Especially, I think, at retirement. Yeah, man. The laity. The laity, the parishioners. Man, guys are given what? Stuff. And so I think guys are like, these things. You know, God knows. Because how do you, what? I mean, I'm telling you, 26, you wait. You're going to, they're going to invite you for those events. In 2 weeks' time, you're going. You okay? And some of you are going to be God, what? Parents, please, just make sure that I don't get to know. You don't have to tell me everything about your life. You understand? You can participate in evil, in promoting. Just make sure that I don't get to know. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. So you see? Okay. And then? And when? Yes. So? Philip says, yes, you know. If you believe, then you can be baptized. All right. And the eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Okay? For immersion. And he immersed him. Glory be to God. He dipped him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, what is the spiritual meaning of water baptism? All right? Remember, immersion is a physical act, amen? It is a, you know, it is an action, but what is the meaning behind it? All right? Number one, when someone is baptized, they are immersed, they are identifying with the death and resurrection of Jesus. That is why Colossians chapter 2 verse 12 says that we were buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him. All right? Because when Jesus died, you also died. When he resurrected, okay, you also resurrected according to the Bible. All right? So, water baptism is you go down in the water, you are immersed in water, okay, and that is symbolic of the death that you died in Christ, and then you come up out of the water, symbolic of the resurrection, okay, that you're identifying with. Glory be to God. Amen? And by the way, why water? All right? Why water? Okay? You see, when Emmanuel and Elizabeth and Nkwanzi and Abigail and Hillary, all right? Okay? Before they were born, they were in water. Glory be to God. What? Okay. All right. They were in the water in their mother's wombs. Hallelujah. All right. So they were there. Then they came out of the water. All right. To a new life. Glory be to God. So when you are immersed in water, you're basically dying to your old what? Life. And then when you come out, you're saying that you are coming out to live a new life in the Lord. Glory be to God. You're being born again. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Bob, you have heard. Don't send me another message, okay? Asking me what? Questions. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, 7 to 8. What does it mean? Born, is what? Born of water and of the blood. That Jesus was born of water and of the blood. He was born of water. He was in the womb. Glory be to God. And he had blood, meaning that he was a real human being. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. So, you are identifying with the death and resurrection of Jesus, that when he died, he also died. Hallelujah. The other spiritual meaning of water baptism, like I've said, it is you're pledging to walk in Christ-likeness. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 6 says that we were buried with him through baptism into death. That is what I just told you. All right? We were what? Buried with him through baptism into death. All right? That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Newness of life. You walk, you know, you don't walk as you used to walk. You understand? Your walk changes. Glory be to God. You now walk according to the ways of the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, one of the most dangerous churches or congregations, okay, are the so-called prophetic what? Churches, which are always into what? Prophecies and then, of course, miracles and what things to, you understand? Man, those congregations are dangerous. Because they're not taught, eh? You understand? They're just shouting things, just emotions, eh? And they never get down to actually what? We study the Bible, be taught the Bible. Now, those guys are dangerous, man. The day you stop exciting their emotions, all right? We're telling them. The day you stop to tell them, you know, what they are going to get next week, you know, eh? And they fall prey to cults because they're not taught. So all they want is to be excited, emotionally, to be told what they're going to get. And anyone who can do that very well will have them. Do you understand? Yeah? So teaching is very important. Eh? Glory be to God. And churches which are taught where teaching is happening, they are very stable. You know, eh? Okay, especially concerning the elementary principles of Christ. Basics on which other things can be built. Hallelujah. So baptism, alright? Alright? You are pledging to walk in the newness of life, in Christ-likeness. Alright? Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, all right, and that you did, or the outward sign of that was when you were dipped in the water, all right, he says that certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Glory be to God. Amen? That is the spiritual significance of water baptism. You're identifying with the death and resurrection of Jesus. You're basically showing that, yes, I believe that when he died and was buried, okay, I died with him. And when he rose, I rose with him. And when I died with him, my old man of sin died. All right? And when I rose with him, all right, I was risen, okay, to the newness of life, to a new life. Hallelujah. Okay? Glory be to God. Hence, the scripture. What does it say? We are a new creation. Glory be to God. The old man died. Hallelujah. So, baptism. Now, how can you say you're baptizing a kid who even doesn't know about what? Walking in righteousness. Glory be to God. All it knows is to bite its mother's breast. Esther, say amen. Because it has never happened to you. Then you... Right? That's what mothers do, apparently, isn't it? Is there any other medicine for that? Hey, you bite, then you get to know that every time you bite, and you stop doing that. Glory be to God. Children are a wonder. Hallelujah. Children are a wonder. You see, you stand up, Esther. Stand up and they see you. Now, that girl is my niece, not nephew. Because, you know why. Yeah, now, when she was young, okay, years ago, I went to visit them at their home. Then she told me her future dreams when she grows up, what she wants to do. She told me that when I grow up, I'm going to build a big hotel. Okay, I don't know why hotels. Maybe once that got in a hotel and stayed there, so she was like, wow, you know. And then number two, I want to have 100 children. 100 children. Okay? I'm telling you, children, if you want to be happy, hang around kids. They'll tell you stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. They'll make you happy. Glory be to God. But of course, you have to keep the other one, what? Nearby. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the third baptism, okay, so we're finished water baptism. Now, if you haven't been baptized, if you've never been immersed in water, please, you had better do it, okay? If you don't do it, okay, and you're walking according to the ways of the Lord, you'll go to heaven, all right? However, you see, Jesus didn't have to be baptized. All right, but he got himself baptized. Why? He said that to fulfill all righteousness. So why wouldn't you want to do something which the Lord commanded should be done? All right, Jesus said, go into the whole world, the nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You understand, eh? So you go to heaven, but you find that question there. Why weren't you baptized? Jesus will ask you. And there will evidently be some repercussions. Eh? Okay? You're not going to hell. Now, there are some people who teach that. No. If you are not baptized, you're not yet saved. No, I don't agree with that. Eh? All right? Remember? The thief on the cross, was he baptized? He was on the cross, and Jesus told him that today you'll be with me in what? Paradise. Glory be to God. So, yeah, baptism doesn't get you saved, but, you know, and since the Lord says it should be done, then it means that there is a blessing to it. Glory be to God. And what's your problem? Eh? Why don't you want to be what? You don't want to be immersed, but you're so eager to be a good mother. You understand? For me, the only way I can explain that it is what? It's the devil in your case. Hallelujah. Say amen. 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 Elementary principles of Christ. Basic principles of Christ that we should know. All right, so we can explain them to people. Bosang omusilam, omunyonyola, baptism, chichechitegeza, numgambo mani, walimu mazi in your mother's womb. You understand? Hallelujah. All right, now, the third baptism, the third kind of immersion is baptism in the Holy Spirit. Immersion in the Holy Ghost. All right? And this one can happen after or before water baptism. Glory be to God. An example of where it happened after, Acts chapter 10, verse 44, okay? So Paul is at Cornelius' house. He is preaching to Cornelius and his household. All right? He's explaining to them about Jesus, who died, you know. All right? Because Cornelius hadn't heard about these things, okay? But he had had a vision, and the vision was telling him, go, okay, and call for Peter to come. And Peter also had a vision when the Lord was telling him that there are some chaps who are coming, okay, and whatever they're going to tell you, accept and go with them. All right, so then Peter ends up at Cornelius' house, and as he's expounding, okay, the things of God, okay, the Bible says that while he's doing that, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who had the word, all who were hearing, okay, all listening. The Holy Spirit came upon them, all right? They were baptized in the Holy Ghost, all right? And how did people know that they were baptized in the Holy Ghost? They had them speak with tongues, all right? Speaking with tongues, glory be to God. Okay, they had them speaking with tongues. Okay, then Peter says that, can anyone forbid water that these should not be immersed who have received the Holy Spirit? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So, what came first? Okay, baptism in the Holy Ghost. And then after that, they were baptized in water. So, you might be here, you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are baptized in the Spirit, but you've not yet been water baptized. All right? You should, you know, go ahead and be baptized in water. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Baptized in water. Baptized in what? In water. Glory be to God. Amen? But do you know why they were baptizing in the Jordan? Why John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan? Jordan. Anyway, you text me, amen, and I'll give you an answer. All right? So, that is baptism in the Holy Ghost. And, okay, like in Acts chapter 1, all right, the evidence, should I say, the most sure evidence that someone is baptized in the Holy Ghost is when they speak in tongues. Okay, that's what happens in Acts chapter 1, rather in Acts chapter 2, all right, on the day of Pentecost. They were all together in one accord. Remember, Jesus had told them, okay, that wait. All right? Wait, okay? All right? Wait in Jerusalem. And they waited. And it says that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, okay, they were all together in one accord. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right? When they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, okay, immersed in the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. And in Acts 10, Cornelius' household, okay, after being filled with the Holy Ghost, they were heard speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. If you don't want to speak in tongues, okay, but you're born again and you're walking according to the ways of the Lord, you will go to heaven, but you will have done yourself a disfavor. Glory be to God. Amen? You're born again, you believe in Jesus, you're walking according to his ways, Okay, but you refuse to be immersed in water to identify with his death and resurrection. And you further refuse to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen? And you know it is good, it is right. But I don't think you can refuse all those two, eh? And you really... There must be other things you're refusing also. I'm telling you. I see these ones which are so simple and major to the Lord. You refuse them. You must be either secretly also refusing others. Like refusing the one of don't steal. You know, you must be doing it. And if you haven't yet known, then you're very sharp. You're doing it very well. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory be to God. You need these things. Eh? The Lord provided them because they are good for you. They are good for us. Hallelujah. Amen? They are actually people in these deliverance things. Eh? Okay? We teach that man, if you've not been baptized, you cannot be delivered from any devil. Okay? Now, I don't agree with them. All right? However, I appreciate how they are really showing how important baptism is. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You can see I'm growing old. Amen? You don't agree with some chaps, but you are like, okay, nah. Like Museveni, you know, Museveni said, was it on Thursday or Friday? Anti-corruption. He said that, you know, go slow on the lifestyle audit. So this guy who's fighting corruption, now you're telling us we should go slow. He said, because these guys you're running after, you're trying to audit their stuff, their what, you know. Now if you know, they will now take the stuff out of the country. And the country will what? Lose that dimes and those jobs. So go slow on them so they still what? But at least the dime is here and the country is benefiting. Now I don't support him. But you see... I think it's like, the ideal state is no corruption. But it's like, whatever you do, this thing will still exist. You understand? Eh? So, if it exists, but Tufuna, as it's here, it is only in heaven, you understand? Eh? So, I could understand what he's trying to say, but there's no other way to say it. But you hope these guys will understand because I'm talking to thieves. Eh? They're the same ones. Eh? You know, yeah? Okay? He's like, that's how some of these countries became rich. They stole and invested in their countries. You understand? Eh? Rwanda went to Congo in the early 2000s, brought the dime to what? Slave trade. You know, eh? Got slaves, took them to Europe, to wherever, to the States, okay? And they were in the sugarcane plantation. You understand? And guys prospered, you know? All right, of course, that's... Anyway, do you understand? Eh? So he's like, whatever you do, this guy... Because even up to now, okay, the Europeans, the Americans, they're still thieves. They're still plundering Africa. And investing in their what? You know, and their what? So it's like this thing, you guys, as long as Jesus is still up in heaven, guys will continue stealing. So the truth of the matter is, you know, Kulava and Gary, it's a hard one now, yeah. Okay? If you, they will take the money now to the States, and it will be now the white man benefiting. So, anyway. But you can understand how it is a difficult thing. Eh? and how it was difficult for him to say, but somehow to, you know, to put it there. Glory be to God. All right? Because he's an old man and he's now wiser, I think, I don't know. And but you see, if you're still like a young guy, you want to run after Okora, you know, guys will become sharp. They will what? And those same whites who are like, we shall grab them, we shall freeze their accounts. When they freeze the accounts, they don't send the money back to Africa, to UG. They use it for their own what? It's never sent back. And even while it is on the accounts, I think it is earning what? Interest. For who? For the guy who's keeping it. So, yeah, I'm against corruption, by the way. Amen? So don't Olivia say what? But, you know, there's a saying about how you are when you are like 20, then how you are when you're 40, how you are when you're 50, then how when you're 70, how what? You know, Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What were you talking about? Yes. Okay. You should be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And you should speak in tongues. Glory be to God. And what is the significance, the importance of being baptized in the Holy Ghost? Number one, you'll be empowered to serve God. All right? Because Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he told the disciples that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You, in fact, he said, do not depart from Jerusalem until the promise of the Father has come, the Holy Spirit. Don't. Okay. You're going to mess yourselves up. First, wait until the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Okay? And he says that when he does come upon you, you shall receive power. Glory be to God. Amen? So you see how if you jump to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you're doing yourself a disservice, and you're doing the body of Christ into which you are baptized when you got saved. You're doing it a disservice because we need you. We need your power. We need your input. Hallelujah. And number two, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you receive an effective prayer language. All right? You saw people in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You saw in Acts chapter 10 at Cornelius' house, Cornelius and those who are with him spoke in tongues. All right? Glory be to God. All right? And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 says that if I pray in an unknown tongue, okay, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. Glory be to God. You're praying for things even your mind doesn't know. So you're doing yourself a disservice. Hallelujah. And now there are those people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost who speak in tongues, but they don't use that ability or that gift as much as they should. You understand? You should pray in the Holy Ghost as much as you can. Hallelujah. All right? The more you pray in the Holy Ghost as a Christian, the better off you are. Glory be to God. These things you know, but please do them. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory be to God. Some of the troubles you're facing, or some of the troubles some Christians are facing now, you know, it's possible that they wouldn't have been there if 2 years ago they were praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay? You're praying in the future. Yeah? Okay? You know, eh? Hallelujah. Pavi, you know, you're praying for things in the future. for troubles, you know, that the enemy has put out there for you. All right? And you're praying them away. So by the time you get in the future, all right, man, do things that are not there. Glory be to God. Nemudawa no trying to pray in English, in a good accent, very impressive and very eloquent. Hallelujah. Then because you're eloquent and with an accent, people say, wow, that was a powerful prayer. But what are they talking? What powerful? It is just the eloquence and the accent. Okay? And the vocabulary. You know, wow, power. Nothing. No power. No nothing. It is just you prayed in someone else's language and you mastered that person's language more than the people who are listening to you. And they call it powerful. Glory be to God. Lastly, the last baptism. The baptism of suffering. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 10 verse 39, James and John and their mother came to Jesus and they say that, you know, Lord, we want to sit, okay, on your left and on your right in your kingdom. Okay, grant us that wish. All right? And Jesus says that you don't know what you're asking. All right? He asks them that, are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized with? And they said, yes. Then he told them that you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand and on my left, it is not me to grant. Hallelujah. But we're talking about, he told them you'll be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. What was that baptism? Okay? In Luke chapter 12 verse 50 says that I have a baptism to be baptized with and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. From that, we learn that the baptism he is talking about is a baptism of suffering. So he was asking them that, are you able to suffer, all right, the way I'm going to suffer? And they said yes, and say, okay, you will indeed suffer like I'm going to suffer. Hallelujah. And that which he told James and John, okay, he still tells it to us today. Glory be to God. John chapter 15 verse 20. He says that if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. All right? Paul echoed him saying in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 that yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That is a baptism of suffering. You are not exempt. The only way you can escape it is if you decide to live like the devil. Hallelujah. All right? You don't want to be baptized in water. You don't want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But you love the Lord, walking godly. This one you will get it. Hallelujah. This one you can't escape it. Glory be to God. And if you're not careful, now, this is a joke. You might receive a larger dose of it if you refuse to be water baptized, because there has to be compensation. All right? If you refuse to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you might get an addition here. And now when you are suffering, okay, when you are immersed in suffering, please, don't deny the Lord. Amen? Don't depart from the faith. Because if you depart from the faith, you know what will happen. What will happen? What will happen? You're going to hell. That's why Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36 says, for you have need of endurance. You have need of withstanding the suffering. So that after you have done the will of God, what is the will of God? Standing in the midst of suffering, you may receive the promise. Which promise? The promise of eternal life. This promise of forever spending your life with him. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming, Jesus, will come and will not tarry. He will not delay. Now the just shall live by faith. Amen. Which living is this? The living of having eternal life. How will you live it or have it? By faith in Jesus. If you depart from the faith because of suffering, you have thrown away eternal life. Alright? But if anyone draws back from the faith because of suffering, God says that my soul has no pleasure in him. Okay? This stupidity that God is always pleased with everybody. Alright? He's ever pleased when he looks at you. Alright? He sees Jesus. So he's always pleased. You've heard that stuff. No, here it says that there's a time when the Lord is not pleased. Have you seen it? When he look, because you are in Jesus. So before he sees you, he sees Jesus. So he's always pleased with you. Therefore, he's always pleased with you. Whatever you do. Alright? He said, no. There are moments when the Lord is not pleased. Alright? But he says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We believe until the end, until we receive the salvation of our souls. Glory be to God. Those are the four baptisms of the New Testament. Being baptized into the body, being baptized in water, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, and experiencing the baptism of suffering. Glory be to God. But the suffering, we have the Holy Ghost. All right, we can overcome if we choose to partner with the Lord. Glory be to God. And that is why we love him, because we are not helpless. Amen? He left us with a comforter. We are not what? We are not helpless. And that is why we love him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.